11:24 here with Gresh and Keith. Good morning to all the affiliates all across New England in Providence, Springfield, Worcester, Cape in the Islands, up in Keefe, New Hampshire, in the great state of Maine, and of course, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, he covers the NHL for Bally Sports. He's kind enough to join us on the Twitch stream as well with a nice new banner behind him since the last time we talked. Our buddy Pete Blackburn talking pucks with Gresh and Keefe. And Pete, let's jump right into wildly different on the road for the Bruins versus at home. Is that just the ebb and flow of the NHL playoffs, or is there more to the Bruins being able to match up better against Carolina at home than on the road?
I think it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't think that you can fully attribute what's happened in the series to home ice advantage. You look at what's happened in this series is basically flipped on its head from Carolina to Boston. And, I don't think that that's necessarily a matchups game. I think it's more of, you finally got your guys to come start bringing their A game, and not a second too early or not a second too late either. I mean, it's insane that this series, you left Carolina thinking that this team did absolutely nothing right, and they are back in the series, which is more than I thought was going to happen. I thought they would be lucky to get a game.
How much of this change, these back-to-back wins, has to do with the change in net and bringing in Jeremy Swayman?
So I didn't blame Linus Ullmark for anything that had happened in the first couple of games. You know, I thought that he probably could have been better. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good either. I said it from the beginning, you know, I expected to see Swayman at some point. I thought that it was the right move to go to him after game two. You just needed a kick in the pants, and it's easier to swap out a goalie and send a message than anybody else in the lineup. And I think that Swayman is a guy who is more likely to give you a save that you don't necessarily deserve, or, you know, he's a guy who is more capable of stealing you a game. So I've been impressed with Swayman over the past few, and I think that he's given them some timely saves, some that they haven't deserved. So that's a big step in the right direction.
Pete, what did you make of Bruce Cassidy moving David Pastrnak back up and recreating the perfection line once again? It worked in these two games. Is it something that you think Cassidy's got to lock into however long this playoff run goes?
I think you got to stick with it as long as it's working. Don't fix what isn't broken. And obviously they needed offense, and getting those three guys together is probably the best way to do it, at least from the top. And, you know, the results have spoken for themselves so far. So I think you ride that hot hand, that hot line, and see how far they can take you.
Are they going to be able to handle another game without Charlie McAvoy? And it's, again, shocking that their two best defensemen aren't playing there in game four, and they win it pretty handily. Felt like, all right, maybe you can kind of patchwork it for a game. I'm curious how long they can go without their best defenseman.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna survive the series if Charlie McAvoy remains out. I still think that Carolina's been the better team at 5-on-5 in the series. They shot themselves in the foot big time in game four with how stupid and undisciplined they played. And again, that's the series flipping on its head, because the Bruins were that stupid and undisciplined team in the first couple of games. They took themselves out of games. I think that Carolina did that yesterday. And so you're not going to be able to replace Charlie McAvoy's 25 minutes a night. Being outplayed 5-on-5 against a team that is as good as Carolina. I think they got lucky in game four. No disrespect to a guy like Josh Brown, but anytime he's out there, it's just, I'm gripping onto my couch hoping that he doesn't do anything stupid that costs him a game. So you would love to see Charlie McAvoy back in as soon as possible.
Yeah, Pete, I had mentioned earlier that even strength defensemen, if you would have heard that it was going to be Connor Clifton, Brandon Carlo, and Derek Forbort were going to be the three leading even strength defensemen, we would have thought it would be 3-1 and talking about a completely different scenario for the Bruins.
Shout out to Derek Forbort, though. He's been awesome the past couple of games, especially in game three.
Yeah.
It's he has been the guy that, like, everybody was sold that he would be when they brought him in. You know, this big, tough body who willing to get dirty, doesn't necessarily play like a sexy game in the back end, but he's willing to eat shots. He's a big body out in front and can be strong. And that's who he's been the past couple of games. So good for him. Hopefully it stays that way, because they're going to need him, especially if McAvoy's not in the lineup.
on Friday, prior to game three, Gresh and I were talking and taking a lot of calls, and people were screaming about the future of Bruce Cassidy and the future of Don Sweeney. Do you think they've done enough by you know, showing some backbone and having the team? And this, I guess, more for Cassidy. You know, they responded to him. They didn't get swept. They didn't get embarrassed. Is that enough to push that conversation aside? Or if they ultimately still lose in the first round, do you think that's going to be a conversation they have to have?
I think it may be a conversation that they have if they lose in the first round. I don't necessarily think that it's a conversation they should have. I think that he's doing what he can with the roster that's been given to him. I don't think anybody was crazy about the offseason moves that Don Sweeney made. If you're making me pick one of those guys that you got to kick out the door if things go wrong, I'm picking Don Sweeney. But, you know, I think that Cassidy, had they gotten absolutely steamrolled like they did in the first two games, then it becomes an easier conversation to have about Cassidy. But I certainly wouldn't put much blame on him.
Pete Blackburn covers the NHL for Bally Sports. He is with us on Twitch as well as he joins us on the Harbor One hotline here with Gresh and Keefe. If they say Don Sweeney's got to go, Pete, is there somebody in-house in waiting, or do they go, quote-unquote, outside the family? How might that work if the Bruins say, okay, we need to move on from Don?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that it may also depend on if it's just Don or if it's Don and Cam. And if you're going a complete organizational shift, and I guess it also depends on where they see themselves as an organization. Like if they are going to transition into a new era, or if they're going to try to soft rebuild or retool, that sort of determines where you go. And I don't know what the answer is there, and I don't know who they would look at. If that were the case, I don't think that there's going to be this big time massive shakeup after the season, regardless of whether or not they lose this round, the first round. You know, I think Carolina is a good team. Bruins have put up some fight. You know, obviously you'd like to see that continue, but it's no longer the conversation, the narrative that they just got completely run through by the Hurricanes in super embarrassing fashion. That's the way that it was trending, but I don't think you can say that anymore.
You think Patrice Bergeron's back? I mean, I know it's just a guess at this point, but do you think he remains on the team next year?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not expecting him to hang him up. He obviously, you know, that's his decision, of course, and I'm praying that he decides to come back for at least one more year, especially given the state of this team. They'll be in massive trouble if he decides to hang him up, especially down the middle. So that could change the entire look of this team as well.
You know, Pete, it's funny because when Rich and I were talking on Friday, like you said, it looked like the Bruins were going to get beat in embarrassing fashion. And, oh, my God, do you start to turn the page? What is the fine line of continuing to build around Marchand and Bergeron while getting the next group of guys that we're going to obsess over for a decade?
Well, the fine line, it's not a super fine line. It's drafting and development, and it's something that they haven't been superb at over the past handful of years, and I think that maybe is killed them more than anything, because we obviously know that they have the pillars up top with those guys that lead this team. And, you know, even a few years ago, they had, you know, Chara and McAvoy, and it seemed like they were in a good spot to contend. And Don Sweeney's failures have come at filling in the gaps. And, you know, that's where you've seen, like, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were able to fill in the gaps on that third line at the trade deadline, and it helped them win back-to-back Stanley Cups. You have to be able to put in place the organizational pillars and then also the ancillary pieces around them that will help you bring it all together. And I think that they've sort of failed to find those secondary pieces and failed to develop them within the system, and it's cost them.
Where does Tony DeAngelo rank amongst recent Boston Bruins villains?
I'd say pretty high. I mean, there's obviously there's a ways to go. There's plenty of hockey left to be played in the series, but I think that there's a lot of potential for Tony DeAngelo to be like a big time series villain here, especially if Marchand keeps going after him the way that he is. And I would love to see it. I mean, it's better when there's a villain. It's better when there's hate. It ramps up the entertainment factor. So I'm very thankful that Marchand and DeAngelo mixed it up yesterday.
It's pretty funny how Marshy just kind of went there right away with DeAngelo. Do you think everybody will be able to control their emotions, Pete, because we know the Carolina, hard driving, they get those 5-on-3s. I know the Bruins had to kill some 5-on-3s down in Carolina. Will emotion end up being a problem in this series? Because it feels like the refs are just waiting to blow the whistle on all these dudes in this series.
Yeah, I think that's been the case across these playoff series. That there was, I got to assume that there was some sort of mandate from Bettman or the league office to call it more strictly than you typically have in the past. And I think we've seen an overcompensation a little bit in the first round from officials being really active with the whistles, and you know, including post play scrums and things like that. Like, you know, some of the calls that that sent the Bruins to the box in the first couple of games in the extracurricular activities didn't make any sense to me. They're not really calling matching stuff. They're giving the Bruins. So that sort of boggled my mind a little bit, and knowing that moving forward and how sort of easy it's been to go away from 5-on-5, you have to be smart and you have to stay out of the box as much as you can, especially knowing how good Carolina can be. So I hope that it emotions don't play into the 3-game series that we're about to see, but I would think that there is a potential for that to happen.
Do you still have Carolina winning the series?
I had the Bruins winning the series at the outset.
Okay.
So I'm going to stick with that. You know, I think that when you look at if this is what we're going to get, and the Bruins are going to get good special teams, good goaltending, if Charlie McAvoy's not out, I still think the Bruins can win this series. And, I think goaltending might be an issue for Carolina, perhaps. I think that I'm going to lean Bruins. Obviously, if you asked me on Friday, right, I would have been like, they'd be lucky to get one game. But I'll stick with the Bruins at this point.
Who do you got in the Tampa Bay-Toronto series, which is also tied at 2?
I have Tampa just because of the goaltending, and we're starting to see that goaltending slip a little bit for Toronto. Just a bad team effort all around yesterday. It's hard to put it all on Campbell, but I think having Vasilevsky versus Campbell is a massive advantage for Tampa. Two very good teams, but I'm going to lean the Lightning.
Hey, I know we have a bit of breaking NHL news this morning, and I saw on your Twitter at Pete Blackburn reacting to the news that Barry Trotz is out as the coach of the Islanders. What in the world is Lamoriello thinking down there?
That's a good question. I think that it brings up a number of questions. You know, does Barry Trotz want to be in the island? I would imagine he does, but who knows? You know, does he want to keep coaching? I wonder what happened there, because it's almost impossible to look at that team and what they've been over the past 3 years and not give the majority of the credit to Barry Trotz. And seeing how many things went wrong for that team this year, from the, you know, the extended road trip that they had at the beginning of the year because their building wasn't ready, how many times they got hit by COVID, just the bad luck with injuries. It's very hard to look at that team and put any blame on Barry Trotz. So I would love to explore the mental gymnastics that Lou Lamoriello maybe had to go through to convince himself that this was a good idea.
Well, Pete, thanks for the time, brother. We always appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on the Twitch as well. And hopefully the Bruins are going to make it into the second round. And we got plenty of reasons to talk to you here, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope so.